Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Well, we're going to look at some things in the Word tonight, and so I hope that you've got your expectation out. Amen. Hallelujah. And so we're going to start tonight in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Tonight, the Lord laid on my heart to talk about transformation. Transformation, amen. You know, Pastor Chuck was just in 3 John 2 and he's talking about how, you know, that we receive stuff as our soul prospers. Well, if your soul stays where it was at when you first got born again, you're not going to receive near as much as what you could, amen. And so there are transformations, I should put an S on the end of that. There are transformations that take place in our life, in our spiritual life as we are walking with God. Amen. But I want to look at our first transformation that took place when we got born again. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're going to start with verse 17. Amen. Are you there?
Yes.
All right. Praise God. It says this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Amen. Amen. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Amen. The word reconciliation there means restoration to the divine favor. Restoration to the divine favor. Amen. Now, there's probably everybody in here has a story about the day that they got born again. I'm sure that you do. Maybe you can't remember the exact day, the month. Maybe you can't even remember the year. Amen. But I do. I remember it quite vividly, August the 3rd, 1992. I remember it very, very vividly. Amen? And I remember what happened that day. I remember that I was in that church service and God had been dealing with me for weeks about giving myself over totally to Him. Amen? And never looking back anymore. Hallelujah. And so that time, whenever the pastor led me through the sinner's prayer in that parking lot of that church, I have never in my life, ever, from before that time up until this time, ever had an experience like that in my life. Everything that was old and nasty and disgusting in my life was gone. Amen.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. If you could have put me on spiritual scales, I might have weighed 10 pounds because everything else was gone. All that was left was my spirit man. Amen. That's all that was left. Everything else was gone. I never felt like that in my life. Amen. The reason being, I didn't realize how bad my life was. And so whenever that was all taken out, and behold, everything else had become new, it was something I couldn't explain. Couldn't explain it. All I was doing was enjoying it. Amen. I didn't know how long it was going to last. I mean, when you first get born again, you're thinking, you know, how long was this going to last? An hour? Maybe at the most a day? Well, I'm telling you, it's lasted now for 33 years.
Right.
Amen.
Amen?
Sometimes it's more intense than at other times, but it's still there.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. That restoration of divine favor came into my life. Amen. I was totally transformed. Not on the outside. I still looked the same. I was just as handsome then as I am now. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So that part didn't change. But everything on the inside of me became new and fresh.
Yeah.
And it says that all of these things were from God.
Yeah.
He did it. Amen?
Amen.
He did that work. He changed me. The only way that he could do that, though, was that I became obedient to what he was speaking to me after all of those months of dealing with me and going to a church that I didn't understand, but yet I couldn't refute what they were saying. Taking a Bible and holding it in my hand really for the first time. Amen? Because the ones I had before that, they were so heavy you couldn't pick them up. You understand what I'm saying? Some of you know what them are, them old coffee table Bibles. Amen? That, you know, you just stuff stuff in there. When company came over, you put magazines or whatever in there just to, so they couldn't see them. But behold, all this stuff became new in my life. Amen? And so I was just very intrigued with this. I'd never experienced anything like this. Amen? I mean, I came out of a denominational church. Didn't have anything going on in my life. Nothing had changed. Not from the being a baby all the way up to the time that I was 38 years old when this happened. Nothing had changed. It was all just the same. Same old stuff every day. But yeah, all of a sudden, my eyes were opened. Amen? Hallelujah. This sounds like a good salvation message, doesn't it? But what I'm wanting to get at is that you and I as believers, when you start this journey, that's not all of it. Amen? And I thank God that I got born again in a church that wasn't looking just to have me as a number of a salvation that Sunday, but they wanted to disciple me. They wanted me to grow. They wanted me to really end up taking my place, not as a child of God, but as a son of God. There's a big difference. I don't know if you know that or not, but there's a big difference. Amen. Everybody starts out as a child of God. Hallelujah. And you don't lose that privilege. It's yours. You get to keep it. But you can mature. You can grow. You can become something different than what you started out at. Amen. And then God is able to put things into your hands because now you are a mature believer. And you're growing every day. Amen. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. It's great. It's the best thing that ever happened to me. I wouldn't take the whole state of Texas for this. Amen. Hallelujah. It was the best thing. The glorious thing. Amen. And so tonight, that's what I want us to look at. As the Lord was ministering this to me, he was just basically showing me scriptures about how we grow. How we're supposed to grow, how the things of God become more real to us as time goes on. Amen? Hallelujah. And if we continue with him, then we're going to start to see things come about. Amen? I found out one thing about God, that if you are truly serious with him, he's very serious with you. Amen? You know, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, he says that those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, what happens to them? They're what? They're filled. Amen. Not just filled to satisfaction, but they're overflowing. Everything God does is overflowing. He never just fills, he overflows. I guess you all know that, don't you? Amen. Your cup runneth over. Hallelujah. So it's not just this thing of you being satisfied in yourself and thinking, look what I've accomplished, but you've got so much in you that it spills out on others. And that's what he wants. Amen? Hallelujah. So you just keep growing and growing and growing. Hallelujah. Because you get hungrier and hungrier for God all the time. Praise God. Now, understand this. There may be times when you kind of slack off. I know I have more than once, so I'm not going to sit here and tell you that that hasn't happened because it has happened. Amen. And there have been sometimes it's been long seasons where I've just kind of just been floating along. Amen? Just kind of doing the things I need to do, going to church. I never stopped going to church. Once I got born again, I never stopped going to church. Before I got born again, I did not go to church often. Because there's always something that I need to do this, I need to do that, or whatever. So I did the things that I knew I needed to do. It's just that my intensity, I wasn't fanning the flame, keeping these things stirred up on the inside of me like I should. Amen. So, did that disqualify me? Absolutely not. Hallelujah. There's no believer who has been gung-ho all the time, press, 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 press. Amen. At least I don't know any. Maybe you do. Maybe it's you. Amen. I just don't know you that well, I guess. Hallelujah. But you got to understand that, if we are really, really honest with ourselves, there's been times when we've kind of slacked off, not done as much, not prayed as much. Amen. Hallelujah. So maybe you're in that season right now. I just want to tell you that it's okay. Don't worry about it. Let's just get on with it. Paul said he had to forget the things that were behind him. All the mistakes he had made, all the things that were wrong. He said, I want to press forward. I want to press in. I want to go after that prize. Amen. And so whenever that happens, you just say, I admit it. I'm going to do better now. Amen. That's all you have to do. You don't have to, I'll be honest. When I first got born again and I messed up, that was a process for me. I mean to tell you, there was wailing and gnashing of teeth. There was carpet with snot on it. And all kinds of stuff. Because I thought I had to make myself right with God again. Why? Because I wasn't mature yet. I thought I had to do all this. Thank God I listened to men and women of God and I read the Word of God and it said, you cannot make this happen. Amen? So if that's what you're doing now, throw the guilt away. Amen? What's it say in Romans 8? It says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. Amen? No fault finding with God about how you and I have messed it up. Amen? Let's just wipe the slate clean and move on. Amen? Hallelujah. All right. So let's look at this and let's back up. You're in 2 Corinthians. Let's back up to chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Talking about transformation. Just going one step at a time. And never, 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 which I did at one time, compare yourself to another believer. Don't do that. Don't do it. You'll become disheartened all the time. Amen. You look at yourself. You focus in on yourself and you focus in on what God wants you to do. Amen. Hallelujah. So don't get yourself all messed up with that. Let's look at this. Are you there in 2 Corinthians 3? Right? Verse 16 says this, nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Praise God. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, talking about us as believers, with unveiled face, the veil's been taken away. Anybody in Christ, the veil is now off. And they can see what needs to be seen. Whenever Moses spoke to the children of Israel after he came down from Mount Sinai, what did he have to do? He had to put a veil over his face because of the glory of God that shone out to him, and nobody wanted to look at it. He couldn't even speak to them because they wouldn't listen. Amen? They got to the point and said, you know, if God wants to say anything, let him talk to you, then you tell us. Amen. But now we don't have to do that. We can cut out the middleman, so to speak. Amen. And we can talk directly to God. Now look at this in verse 18. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being what? Transformed. We're being transformed into the same image. From glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So you and I are being changed. Why? Because there's nothing hindering us anymore. Amen. There's no veil. There's no hindrance. There's nothing to try to steal from you anymore if you keep yourself focused on God. Yes, there is an enemy. Yes, he wants to steal, kill, and destroy. But that doesn't mean that he can with you or with I or any other believer who will stand their ground. Amen. You don't have to let him in. Praise God. You don't have to let him in. Be firm about it. Do him like you would a stray dog. Throw rocks at him. I've done it. Don't tell the Humane Society, but I've done it. Amen. Why? You don't want them. I'm not going to feed a stray dog. I'm not going to do it. Now, if you're an animal lover, praise the Lord. Amen. I love animals too. I love cows. On my plate. Amen. There are animals that I do truly love. Praise God. Now, I don't have anything against dogs or cats or rabbits or, you know, your fluffy little squirrels running around. Amen. Hallelujah. But if I don't want it, I don't want it. And you're not going to make me take it. Satan's not going to make me take what he's wanting me to have. Amen. He's just not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to let him in my life. Does that make sense? So it says that we are transformed into the same image. Same image as what? Same image as God. Let us make man in our own image. Amen? So you're being transformed into that. You're not God Junior at the beginning, but you can grow into that. You can grow into everything that he has. You can command stuff just like he has. Amen. You can do that. It just takes some transformation. Amen. Right. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's go and look at this in Philippians chapter 1. We're going to look at scripture tonight, so brace yourself. You should know that with me anyway. I can't take just one scripture and preach for an hour. I just never could. Some people can, and praise God for it. Amen. But I like to dance around the book. Amen. Just a little prancing here, little writing here. Amen. If you just got one scripture, after a while you're going to run out of space. I mean, you know, unless you've got a parallel Bible and you got room down in here. You know, if yours is all like this, you can't write a whole lot. So I like to do a little doodling. Hallelujah. Where are we going? Philippians chapter 1. That's right. Amen. And let's look at this in verse 6. Are you there? This is Paul speaking to us. He said, "And I am convinced and sure of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will continue." Do you see that? Will continue until the day of Jesus Christ, right up to the time of his return, developing, or you could say transforming, that good work and perfecting and bringing into full completion in you. So there you are. There you have it. Paul says, "I'm convinced of this." Amen. I mean, whenever he was on the road to Damascus and you know, he had his conversion, right? The conversion of Paul. He saw the Lord and everything, and he told him what he was going to have to do and all like that. That was all new to him. All new. Just like the day you got born again, it was all new. God started speaking to him. But he didn't know how it was going to happen. He didn't know what was going to take place. He didn't know what he was going to... He thought that you know, after he got his eyesight back, and he started preaching to the Jews. Is that who God told him to preach to? No. He said to Gentiles. Amen. So there was a mistake he made. Amen. Well, he wasn't mature yet. He wasn't developed yet. He wasn't completely transformed yet. But he was getting there. And so he says, I'm convinced of this, that what he did with me, he's going to do with you. There's no way of getting around it. You can't read, you know, something, well, other than the Bible, you can get it, but there still has to be a revelation of it. There still has to be a revealing, amen, of everything that God has in his word. Praise God. So it doesn't matter how long you've been in the way. Hallelujah. There's still more that you need to know. More. And Paul says, I'm convinced. He's going to do it right up until the day the rapture of the church takes place. It's going to happen. If we're still here in the flesh, God's going to work on you and I up until T minus 1 second and counting. Amen. 2 seconds before Jesus appears in the eastern sky, he's told you something that he wanted you to do. How am I going to have time now? You're here. But he's still developing that. Do you understand that? Amen. He's still working on you and I. I guess you could say that we're a labor of love. Amen. You just keep working on it and keep working on it and you keep adding to it and you keep doing this. It's like Pastor Chuck's trains. Amen. It's a labor of love. He works on them, then he adds stuff to them. He doesn't, it's not the same as it was when you first got that set of trains that you got down in your basement, right? Keep adding to it. Amen. Said, you know what? I'm going to tweak this. Yeah. I'm going to add a little bit, a little sound effect here. Yeah. Amen. And what's it doing? Well, it's embellishing it. It's making it better. Hallelujah. Money's no object, right? No object. Did you hear that, Miss Joanne? Money. Yeah, time out. Yeah, so wait a minute here. There, we may have a Houston, we got a problem. Amen. So we're always a work in progress. And as long as we are willing and obedient to continue to move forward, God will continue to speak that to us. Amen. Whatever we're needing, whatever we have to have at that time. Does that make sense? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So, as Paul was moving on, I mean, you can see this, you know, in his writings. At one time he said he was the worst of all sinners. Amen. And then at one place he said, I'm just paraphrasing because I can't remember exactly how it goes. But, you know, that he did more than all the apostles put together. Yeah. Well, that wasn't the same day. That was as time went on and God was transforming him into the great apostle that he became. Right. Do you see that? So don't get in a hurry to do stuff. Let God have his perfect work in you. Let patience have its perfect work. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. I used to get all antsy and wanting to do this and that and whatever. Well, I found out that whenever I get antsy like that, I jump into something that I don't know what I'm doing. Amen. And then, you know, you got to go through the thing of, oh boy, you know. How am I going to sweep this under the rug? Amen. It's good to learn from your mistakes. It really is. But it's even better when you can learn and not have the mistakes. It's even better. At least I would think so. Maybe you don't think so. You've got your opinion. I've got mine. Amen. And we'll just leave it at that. Praise God. But if we continue on, the Word of God has everything that you're ever going to need to have a successful life, right? Amen. So let's look at this. Let's go back from the Old Testament to Joshua chapter 1. We all know this, but let's just look at it anyway. Joshua chapter 1. Hallelujah. There are three things here that we need to look at. Amen. Are you there? Well, good. You guys are fast. What does that mean? Hold on, my pages are stuck. There. Amen. I don't want to flip one and be at the end, and then I thought, wait a minute, I thought I had more than this. Amen. Well, this is God speaking to Joshua. And in verse 8, he says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous." Then. Only then will you make your way prosperous, and only then will you have good success. There are three things here that God told him that he had to do. Number one was that he had to always speak the word. Always speak what the word says. Amen? That's for any of us. Just speak what the word is saying. Don't speak what your circumstances are saying. Amen? Don't speak about how sick you are. Don't speak about how broke you are. Don't speak about how nobody loves you. Amen. Look at it this way. If everybody in the world hated you, God still loves you, and he makes up for all of it. Amen. And he can do more for you in one moment than all the rest of those who hate you could ever do against you in a lifetime. Do you see that? So number one, you've got to always speak the word. Don't let it depart from out of your mouth. Amen? In other words, don't replace it with something else. Number two is that you've got to meditate on what you have spoken. Meditate on what you're speaking. Think about it. I think that's the biggest problem that believers have is that they never think about what they're saying. They just say stuff. I've been guilty of that. I've had God say, "Don't say that," and I say it anyway. I know. I'm the only one who's ever done that. He has. He said, "Don't say that. You don't want to say that." But I had to. I got to get that in there. And after I said it, you know, wow. Not only did it leave a bad taste in my mouth, it left a bad situation. Amen. I know I don't look like that. I know I look like just the kind of guy that, you know, never says anything wrong, but I do. A lot. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I'm still a work in progress, right? Amen. Meditating on God's word keeps the door to your life shut from the devil's entrance. If you're only speaking the word, he can't come in. That's why it says, give no place to the devil. Don't give him a foothold, the Amplified says. Don't give him any way into your life. The only way he can get into your life and my life is through the words that we speak. That's the only way. Amen. Hallelujah. And then number three is this, obey what you are meditating on from the word. Obey it. Just obey it. Amen. You may not know how yet to obey it. Ask the Lord, "Lord, how am I going to do this? How am I going to obey this? How am I going to make this happen? Because your word says this." Amen. He says, when you do all three of these things, then you will have good success. Amen. We're just moving on into things. We're speaking the word. That's how we always start out. We just speak the word. And then we start meditating on that word. And then we put action to our faith and act it out. Amen? doing what the Word says. And there's nothing better. I've obeyed God many times, many, many times. Amen? And it's always good. I always feel great when I did it. I may not have understood what I was supposed to do, how I was supposed to do it, or anything else, but I just went ahead and done it. Yeah. Amen? And so I have good success when I do that. Praise God. Amen. It's a very simple formula when you get right down to it. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, Mark chapter 4, let's go there. I've got a lot to cover, so I'm not going to maybe spend a lot of time on this, but I am going to spend a little time on this one here because this one, to me, is very, very important. They're all important, but this is very important. Mark chapter 4, we're going to start with verse 21. I'm going to read this out amplified. And this is Jesus speaking. He said to them, "Is the lamp brought into be put under a peck measure or under a bed and not to be put on a lampstand?" Things are hidden temporarily. You got to understand that. You may not know some things right now, but it's just a temporary thing, okay? Don't make it more than that. Don't analyze what God is wanting to do away. Amen? It says, things are hidden temporarily only as a means of revelation. For there is nothing hidden except to be revealed, nor is anything temporarily kept secret except in order that it may be made known. Verse 24. This is the part I'm wanting us to look at. And he said to them, "Be careful what you are hearing." Amen. Boy, if there's ever a time we got to be cautious of what we're listening to, it's now.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Hallelujah. It says that the measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you, and more besides will be given to you who hear. Man, that's a powerful promise, isn't it? Amen. Now look at verse 25, though. "For to him who has will more be given, and from him who has nothing, no desire, no expectation, no drive, just bump on a log, okay? Even what he has will be taken away by force." Now that's an eye-opener there. Jesus correlates our success with our study of the Word. Amen? The more you study the Word, the more proficient you become in the Word, and the more virtue and knowledge comes out of the Word toward you, and what was hidden before now becomes revelation to you. Amen? It's a simple concept. The more time you spend with God, the more of God you have. Amen? It's just that simple. Amen. If you feel like your life is confused and it's not going anywhere, check about how much time you're spending with God. And it's not just in prayer, but it's in study, not reading. There's a difference. Amen? I got caught up a few years back with trying to read the Bible through in a year. Amen. So I read the plan, closed my Bible, done it for the day, checked it off. There was a box there. You checked it off. Amen. But I began to realize I wasn't getting anything out of it. Amen. Now, before I went to that type of a thing, I don't know if I had ever read the Bible all the way through. Gasp. Amen. A preacher who's never read all the Bible through. Heresy. Amen. No, I'm just like Brother Hagin. He said his life's in the New Testament. Now, I read the New Testament multiple times. I just had not gotten into the prophets, the poetry, the law, the history. I wasn't living there. I'm living by the blood of Jesus now. Amen. But I wasn't getting anything out. Yes, I read it. I read it through several times doing the program. I was glad to do it. At least I could say, now I have read the Bible all the way through and not be, you know, shunned. You understand what I'm saying? But I wasn't really getting anything out of it because all of my time of my reading was just to get that done. I hope I'm making sense with this, because what was happening was that it was being stolen from me, the things that I really needed, the amount of thought and study that you give the Word. Not just reading the Word, but studying it. Amen. I don't know how to study. I always hated to study. Well, yeah, I did too. In school, yes. But this is not school. This is, well, it is. It's heaven's school. Amen. Of what He's wanting you to have, to learn. How to operate your life properly. How to get the most out of everything. Amen. And so when Jesus says that the amount of thought and study that you give will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that you receive, I need to do that. I need to do that. Amen? And if I got time to do the other, then I will do that. But I don't make it a practical thing in my life anymore. I like to get my concordance. I like to look up words and write them down. I mean, I've got stuff written all over the place of words that I've looked up. Amen. Hallelujah. It means something. A lot of stuff, God will give me something, I'll write it down and I'll date it. When that was given to me. So I can go back to it and say, well, that was a year ago already that He gave me that. You see that? It's really important. Amen. Hallelujah. So the measure of thought and study in verse 24 again, that word measure there means a limited amount. A limited amount. Amen. But the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you is without limit. Amen. So you and I, when we go and we start to study the Word, we may not know what we're really after. And so we're just kind of skimming through it and looking up some words and different things like that. But whenever the revelation comes, that's the measure that God has. And that's the measure that you're getting back. That's the thing that you wanted, amen? And maybe you didn't even know it. There's been many times that I've studied stuff, not particularly going after that aim, but yet God brought something to me I hadn't thought about. So it's really important. And I get transformed through those types of things. Amen. Hallelujah. See, we're just going from glory to glory. We're moving from faith to faith. We're seeing God in with a whole new, you know, not through, you know, dim glasses or smoke-filled glasses or whatever, amen? But we are seeing Him as He really is, who He wants to be for us. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at this. Look at this in Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. There we go. Now we'll get it out. Praise God. And you all know this one. I know it. Praise God. But look at this. It says in verse 17, it says that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, or really everything that God is, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the the depth, and the height. That word comprehend means to have skillful, trained, working knowledge. It's just not sitting up there in your head. It works for you. Whenever you put it to work, it works for you. Amen? It's, you know, there's a lot of people who have all kinds of knowledge, but it doesn't do anything. They don't even know what to do with it. They can't explain it. They get confused when they talk. Amen? Have you ever listened to someone and you just sit there with your mouth hanging open and you're thinking, I don't even know what they said. Well, take heart, they don't either. I can guarantee you, they don't either. Amen? Hallelujah. But it's skillful, trained, working knowledge. Praise God. Now, verse 20, look at this. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power. What power? The power of what this faith that's rooted and grounded in love, comprehending the entire scope of who God is. This is what we're getting to. We may not be there yet. I'm not there yet. Amen. But this is the whole idea of why we should be transformed, so that we can get to this. Amen. So that when we ask something, you know, in the Amplified, it says that the things that, above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. That's where God's at. Amen. Hallelujah. I can't think that yet. I can't pray that yet. I can't dream that yet. Amen. But I want to. I want to get to a place where I ask God for something. He said, well, it's about time. It's about time. I've been waiting a long time for you to say that. Does that make any sense? Of course it does, because the Word says it is. Amen? And we're being transformed into this. Amen? Praise God. All we're doing is trying to get to the place where God is, and we can do that because He says we can. Jesus said this in Mark 9:23. He said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. If you can believe it. Amen. So we're transformed by what we believe in the Word. That's why you got to study it. That's how the virtue, the power, and the knowledge come. Whenever you and I are studying the Word, don't just read the Word, okay? I don't care if you read a chapter in your Bible, but go back through that and look at that chapter you just read and kind of think, Lord, there's so much in here. I could, you know, show me just one thing so I've got something that I can work on. Amen. Hallelujah. Study. It says to study to show yourself approved. Study the Word of God. Amen. That way you're able to preach the Word in season or out season. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. You're so full of the Word because you've been studying the Word, because you've been transformed by the Word. Amen. In Romans 12, 2. Amen. And then all of a sudden it's just coming out of you. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of what? Living water. Amen. Yeah, living water. It's just flowing out of you. It's just coming out of you. Amen. We've got plenty to do when it comes to this. Amen. And I'm not saying these things to condemn anybody. You understand what I'm saying? I'm saying these things to challenge us, to get us to a place that maybe we're a little hungrier than we used to be. Yeah, maybe I've slipped a little bit. I'll admit that. Amen. And so God is wanting to get us back into the things that we need to understand and know. Praise God. Hallelujah. Ephesians 1:3 says that we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Do you have them all? Do you have fullness of health? So much money that you don't even know what to do with it? Do you have so many people who love you that they're constantly texting you, telling you how much they love you? Well, I don't. On any of the counts that I just named. But that doesn't mean we can't. Because we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. That's all of it. Amen? That's it. That's everything that God has. He wants to bless you and I with it. But if we don't get our thinking right, if we don't allow ourselves to be transformed, if we don't start speaking, meditating, and obeying the word, we can't have these things in their fullness. Oh, you'll get sprinkles of it. I've got sprinkles. Amen. Little dab here, little dab there. Amen. But little dabs don't make a difference. Hallelujah. Amen. Little dabs don't make a difference in your life or anybody else's life. Amen. Matthew 6:33, we all know this one. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. Now, the word kingdom there also means this. It means the rule of the kingdom or how the kingdom operates. If you don't seek the kingdom first, you never know how the kingdom operates. You'll never be able to move into them things that God has for you. Well, you know, I'm just a, you know, just a humble person and all full of humility, and sound like Barney Fife. Amen. Now you need to be a strong person. Humility is great, and you need to be a humble person, absolutely. But a humble person who is healthy, amen. When you're in your 80s, you're just like Caleb and Joshua. Amen. Hallelujah. You got money just like Abraham had. Why is that? Because if you're in Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs to the promise. You've got it all. If you and I could ever really grasp just what we have, this place would have blown up by now. From the joy, the praise, and the glory of God on each one of us. Amen. But we can. I'm going to strive to get there. I'm going to strive to get there. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't just think, you know, well, if I just had enough, to pay my bills. Giraffe, you are so selfish. Amen. Pay somebody else's bills. Amen. When you're living in God's kingdom, by the rules of his kingdom, what you need, that's been taken care of years ago. That's gone. Amen. I mean, you haven't owed anything for years. Anytime you want something, it's just there. Oh, you're living in some kind of dream world. Oh, I know it. It's God's dreams. It's God's dreams. Amen. Hallelujah. Hebrews 11:6 gives us revelation of this transformation, that he is a rewarder of those who every once in a while, they may show up at church or they may not. They what? Diligently seek him. Yeah. He's a rewarder. That word, you want to know what the word rewarder means? It means recompense. It means to give away. God's into free stuff. He likes to give stuff away. Amen? And if you will seek him, that's exactly what happens. Praise God. All right. Now, I've said all that to get us to this point here. in Philippians chapter 3. Let's look at that. And then I'll probably close. Amen. Hallelujah. This is what Paul said about his former life and the things that would have made him very popular with everybody else. Amen. But look at this. We're going to look at verse 7. Philippians 3, 7. And I'm reading this out amplified again. It says, but whatever former things I had that might have been gains to me, I have come to consider as one combined loss for Christ's sake. Yes, furthermore, I count everything as loss compared to the possession of the priceless privilege. Wow. The overwhelming preciousness, the surpassing worth, and supreme advantage of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, and of progressively becoming more deeply, progressively. Nobody's there. I mean, whenever you started dating your spouse, amen, you liked them. You liked them a lot. Right. Yeah, you liked them a lot. That's why us guys, you know, we stumble over ourselves to ask you ladies, you know, to go on a date with us, hoping that you won't laugh in our face. Amen. But you didn't love them yet with the love of a husband and wife. You didn't yet. I didn't. Amen. My wife's a tremendous lady. Amen. But I didn't love her at that moment until I got to know her. Amen. And then we just kept building and building on that love. Amen. Until now, we know nobody else will want us, so we just stay together. Amen. Oh, well, that came out of nowhere. Hallelujah. But it says, progressively becoming more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, of perceiving and recognizing and understanding him more fully and clearly. That's what a relationship's all about. Amen. You start out, you know, with this thing, you know, whatever it might have been whenever you first started dating. But as time went on, you came to a place where you started to talk about marriage. Where you didn't, you know, most people don't talk about getting married on the first date. Although I did know one couple who did talk marriage and got married after their first date, and they stayed together for decades. But I've only known that to happen once, and I don't suggest it. Amen. You got to ease your way into some things. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. I didn't know this was going to be a marriage seminar. Amen. Let's look at verse 10. Listen to the way Paul tells this. He said, for my determined purpose. Determined. If you're determined to do something, nothing's going to stop you from doing it. You're going to do it no matter what. Amen. Whether it's good or bad, you're going to do it no matter what. This is good. He says, for my I speak this almost every day over myself, is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly. See, it's not God who's changing for you. It's you who are changing for God, and now you're seeing him for who he really is. Wow. Amen. You know, when it talks about that God is love, and that for God so loved the world that he gave, do any of us really know what that means? Amen? Because I think so many times we are still connecting love with a earthly, fleshly love instead of God's love. Amen. That's why whenever we do something wrong, we're ready to, you know, commit spiritual suicide, I guess. Because we don't understand God's love. Was he happy with what we did? No. But he's not going to kill you. Amen. He's not going to do that. He's not going to throw a sickness on you. He's not going to take your babies from you. Amen. But he is going to send the Holy Spirit just a little bit to nudge you, to make you realize that was a bad, bad mistake. Amen. Hallelujah. That I may in the same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection. That's another area that we don't have a whole lot of understanding of. What the resurrection bought.
Right.
Amen. See, this is Paul. This is the great apostle Paul saying that he had to determine to do this. So maybe that's why he said in Philippians chapter 1, I am convinced of this one thing, that he's going to continue that work. Amen?
Yeah.
On all of us, in all of us, amen? The power of his resurrection was it exerts over believers. Amen? It exerts it over us, not against us. The power of his resurrection is not trying to do you in. It's trying to get you to a place where, you know, when we're talking about how the blood has cleansed us, how the blood has saved us, we actually really know that that's what that means. It's all because of the blood, nothing else.
Amen.
All because of the blood. Amen? Hallelujah. That's why you need to plead the blood every day.
Amen.
If you're not, then you need to. Plead the blood over your family. Plead the blood over all the members of this wonderful church here. Amen? Plead the blood over our pastors.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. I know I've been meddling. I'm sorry. And then look at this, that I may so share his sufferings. Oh, well, praise God. Let's all stand up now. Amen. We're done. Oh, sufferings. Sufferings? I might have to suffer? Suffer in the flesh. Get that wild, crazy thing under control. Amen. In the spirit, into his likeness, even to his death in the hope. Amen. Hallelujah. There's going to be a lot of transformations that are going to take place in our lives as we are walking on with Father God. And every one of them's to our advantage. We may not like them whenever we see them coming, but if we will take them with the love that God has for us, then we'll do it. We'll see that it was worth what little bit of pain there was in the flesh. Amen. Transformation, folks. You're a new creation in Christ. All the old things, the old nastiness, it's all gone. It's no wonder whenever you got born again, you felt so good. It was all gone. All that weight was gone. All that disgustingness was gone. Amen? Hallelujah. And you might have been close to sainthood when you were, you know, before you got born again. I don't know. But the thing of it is that once you got born again, behold, look, That's why it says, look, everything is now new. Your whole future is new. Everything. There's not one of the old here. And I've given you the ministry of reconciliation, the restoration of divine favor. That's good to know. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.